Some of you know that in addition to my work here at Lakes Free and my ministry here as a senior pastor, I'm involved in some apologetics ministry. My father was a Christian apologist, and since his passing 16 years ago, my brother and I have carried on his ministry. And so occasionally I travel to different places and speak on different themes of Christian apologetics, giving a defense for our faith, why we believe what we believe. One of my favorite things to talk about is the scientific evidence for creation and God's incredible design. I think there's probably no greater illustration of the reality of our Creator God than when we look at some of the numerous examples of God's intelligent design, His wonderful design in creation. One of my favorite illustrations to share on this point is the example of the human ear. The human ear is an incredible structure. I mean, it's an incredible system that God has designed. It's an irreducibly complex system in that it's a system that needs all of its parts, all present, all working together, all at once, or if any of those fail or aren't present, the ear doesn't work. It doesn't function. And so I like to describe to people, you know, evolution is this idea that things evolve gradually, step by step, piece by piece. But the ear is an example of something that couldn't have done that because survival of the fittest weeds out things that don't work. And if you don't have an ear with all of its functioning parts, all present all at once, it's just not going to work. And so this is a great example of a structure that didn't evolve gradually, but had to be all present all at once, all working simultaneously. And of course, this is how God designed it. Well, the ear is an incredible structure. Let me just share a little bit about the ear with us. You know, sound waves first enter into the ear canal. The ear canal itself is an amazing, amazing thing. Do you know that all day long, the human body is shedding skin cells, right? The human body is shedding skin cells all day long, like pounds of skin cells, okay? You're shedding these all day long. Excuse me, Steve, I'm sorry. But here's the thing. How do your skin cells grow? Your skin cells grow from the bottom up, all right? So the bottom layer grows up towards the top, and that's why the top layer sheds off. It grows from the bottom up. But did you know there's one place in the human body where the skin cells don't grow vertically bottom up? Instead, they grow horizontally. And that one place in the human body where they grow horizontally is the ear canal. The ear canal, God designed it to be a natural conveyor belt where the skin cells grow from the inside out. And what happens in that process is if something gets stuck in your ear, it'll eventually be carried out naturally as your skin cells grow from the inside out. It's a natural conveyor belt. This is why, for example, sometimes you've been sitting here in church and all of a sudden you kind of feel something wiggling around in your ear and a little piece of earwax comes out, right? Why does that happen? Well, because God designed the ear to work that way, to clear obstructions. Now, this is just really incredible. Take your index finger, all right? Take your index finger. This is an audience participation, okay? I want you to just look at God's incredible design. Stick your ear canal in your ear and wiggle it around a little bit, right? Now, look it. If this is an incredible design, I don't know what is. Your ear canal is just big enough for you to get in there and wiggle it around and scratch that itch, but not big enough that you're going to pop your eardrum. I mean, if that's not incredible design, I don't know what is. But think about how the ear works. Sound waves enter the ear canal. Those sound waves then hit against your eardrum, this thin little membrane, and that eardrum then begins to move as a result of those sound waves. That eardrum pushes against three tiny little bones, your inner ear bones, three bones that are so small they would fit on the head of a dime. Those ear bones begin to vibrate and they push against another membrane that is at the entrance of that circular structure called the cochlea. The cochlea inside has fluid and hair cells. So when that membrane pushes against that fluid in the cochlea, that fluid begins to spiral through the cochlea over the hair cells. Those hair cells interpret that movement, sending signals through your auditory nerve to your brain, which interprets that as sound. And all of this just happens by chance. Isn't that amazing? Right? Again, you begin to understand the incredible design. This is a structure that had to be all present, all at once, all working together, or else you just don't have a functioning ear. Now, right above the cochlea, there's those other kind of deer antler looking structure there. Those are called your semicircular canals. Now, what do the semicircular canals do? The semicircular canals control balance in the human body. See, the semicircular canals also have fluid in them, and they also have hair cells in them. And those semicircular canals, when your body moves, that fluid will begin spiraling over those semicircular canals, and those hair cells will feel that movement, sending another signal to your brain, telling your brain, hey, Jason's about to bend over, he's about to move. Now think about this, this is absolutely incredible. We have three of these semicircular canals. And what directions do they go in? One goes this way, one goes this way, and the other goes this way. Now friends, what are the three directions the human body can move? I can go this way, I can go this way, or I can go this way, right? God designed these semicircular canals to work as a miniature carpenter's level inside your brain so that when you bend over, you don't fall flat on your face. Because those semicircular canals send a signal to your brain saying, hey, Jason's about to bend over, hang on for a second, right? And again, all of this just happens by chance. Isn't that amazing? Right? Again, the ear is a great example of God's intelligent design. But in our picture of the ear here on the screen this morning, there is one structure in the ear. There's one piece of the ear that's not present in this illustration. And that is your spiritual auditory nerve. Friends, did you know you had a spiritual auditory nerve? It's a spiritual auditory nerve that connects your ear to your heart. See, just like James chapter 3 says that there's a connection between our tongues and our heart, God tells us here that there is a connection between our hearing and our heart. And we're going to see this very clearly in our passage this morning as we continue our journey through the Gospel of Mark. We're going to consider this spiritual connection between our ears and our heart. We've been in the Gospel of Mark now. We're in chapter 4. We are now, believe it or not, we are a quarter of a way through our journey through the Gospel of Mark. This book is 16 chapters, so we're a quarter of the way there. This is going to take us through the summer. But so far here in our journey through the Gospel of Mark, we've seen that Jesus has come. He's begun his ministry. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, which we've seen is God's declaration of amazing grace, his offer of amazing grace through a personal relationship with Jesus. This is what Jesus is calling people to. He's inviting people to. Mark has told us that the crowds are growing. They're coming to follow Jesus. They're curious about Jesus. They've heard about his teaching. They're hearing about the wondrous miracles that he's performing. But we've also seen thus far how while the crowds are gathering, there are really two responses to Jesus that we've begun to see. We've begun to see those who have embraced Jesus, recognizing something special in him, recognizing the work of God in him, and they want more of him. But there's another group like the Pharisees and the scribes and the Herodians who want nothing to do with Jesus. In fact, we've seen they're actively plotting against Jesus. They haven't been receptive to the gospel. And so we've seen this growing divide between those who embrace Jesus and those who reject him. Now today, we're going to discover the fundamental reason for those various responses to Jesus. Jesus is going to reveal this morning that not all have ears to hear. But for those that do, they are privileged to understand the secret of the kingdom of God. We're in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20 this morning. You can follow along on the screens behind me as I read, or in your own Bibles. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into the good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things enters in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for sending your son Jesus into this world to reveal the secret of the kingdom to us. Holy Spirit, I pray this morning that you would open our ears. Help us to hear. Help us to hear and understand the message of the gospel through this powerful parable that Jesus shares with us. We pray this in your great name. Amen. Here in the parable of the soils, we see a number of things. The first thing that we see here in Jesus' teaching is the drama of the gospel. The drama of the gospel. What does a good drama do, friends? A good drama draws you in. A good drama engages you. A good drama forces you to think, and it's thought-provoking and makes you wrestle with the meaning. And we see that in this parable that Jesus shares. Verses 1 and 2 tell us that Jesus was teaching again, and the crowds are following after Jesus, and the crowds there in Capernaum are growing so large that Jesus is actually forced to go out onto the Sea of Galilee and sit in a fishing boat and teach the masses from the boat, from the sea. And you can go to the Sea of Galilee today and you can see a number of these sites, locales, where Jesus likely did this teaching ministry, where he would push offshore and the landscape formed like a natural amphitheater, and Jesus would project his teaching out to the crowds who were listening. And Jesus spoke to them in parables. What is a parable? We're going to be looking at the parables of Jesus today and next week. And when we talk about parables, what are parables? Parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. 35% of Jesus' teaching in the Gospels are parables. Isn't that amazing? These stories that use everyday objects, everyday circumstances to communicate spiritual truths. Now, most of Jesus' parables have to do with the nature of the kingdom of God. We're going to see that this morning. What is the kingdom? How does the kingdom grow? How do you get into the kingdom? Why are some out of the kingdom and others are in the kingdom? We're going to see this today and next week as we look at some of Jesus' kingdom parables. But these parables are intentionally provocative. They're intended to make the listener think. You know, they're intended to provoke us to, okay, what exactly is he getting at here, right? They force us to think through the meaning. And the parables ultimately serve to reveal the condition of a person's heart. When you listen to the parables, friends, what you discover is they reveal what's going on in your heart and whether you're responsive to the teachings of Jesus or whether you're not. The parables really are an indicator of whether that spiritual auditory nerve that God has given us is really working or not. Because some will understand them and others simply will not. We're going to see more of this in verses 10 and 12 this morning. But Jesus goes on in verses 3 through 9 to share this parable with the crowds. And he tells the story of a farmer who is out and he's broadcast sowing. He's got his bag slung over his shoulder and he's walking through his field, through his property, and he's scattering seed. And Jesus talks about that while the farmer scatters the seed, it's all the same seed, the seed lands on four different types of soils. And on one of the soils, it lands on hard pack. The ground is so hard. He describes it as a path. It's been walked over so many times. I mean, it's firm. It's like concrete. Nothing's going to take root there. And the birds come. Satan comes, Jesus says, and snatches away that word so that the faith cannot grow. Jesus talks about the second kind of soil. It's this rocky soil. It's got a little depth, but there's rock underneath. And so the seed takes root. But then when it grows and the sun comes out, it begins to scorch it and it doesn't have depth. So it cannot get moisture and it withers away. He talks about this other seed that falls on the thorny soil. And it begins to grow, but the thorns then choke it out. And then he talks about some of the seed which falls on good soil. And the seed takes root and it begins to bear fruit. And so we can kind of picture what's going on here. I had a firsthand experience of this summer. In my front yard, I had this large river birch tree that I had to get removed this summer. And so I hired a guy to come and cut it out, and then I hired another company to come and grind out the stump, and then I hired another guy to bring dirt and sow seed over the dirt for me. But here's the thing. The dirt that he brought in wasn't very good. It was full of rocks. And so when we're out there scattering seed over this dirt, like initially I thought it looked good. Later I discovered it was full of all these rocks. And so what happened was we're scattering the seed. And by the way, I've got a sidewalk right in front of where this tree was planted. So as we're scattering the seed, some of the seed fell on the sidewalk. Well, guess what happened to that seed? Of course, it didn't grow. All of a sudden, the next couple days, we saw the birds gathering along the sidewalk, picking away at the seed. And then the seed that fell on this horrible rocky soil that was brought in, that seed started to grow, but of course, in the heat of the summer, without good quality soil, no matter how much I watered it, those rocks just choked it out. It didn't have room to grow. And then, of course, what did grow? All the weeds, right? And so the weeds grow, not the grass, but the weeds then choke out all the rest of the grass seed. But along the edges, where my original soil was, where the good soil was, it's very interesting. That seed took root. That seed grew. So if you come to my house this morning, you're going to see this big 20 by 20 section in my yard that looks real greener on the outside. And as you go in, it gradually withers towards the center because the seed didn't take root. This is sort of the parable that Jesus is talking about this morning. One who scatters the seed, it's the same seed, but it falls on four different types of soils. Now, why does Jesus tell us this story? Well, friends, in this parable, Jesus is explaining for us the growth of the kingdom of God. He's illustrating the point that through the proclamation of the gospel around the world and throughout history, like seed being sown by a farmer, the good news will fall in various places and it will receive various responses, but ultimately, the gospel will produce an abundant harvest of souls. Isn't that good news, friends? Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that encouraging for us as a church this morning when we consider the mission God has called us to here at Lakes Free? Right? What is our mission statement? Our mission is to glorify God by creating healthy, multiplying disciples who will work together to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Friends, God has called us as a church to be seed sowers. That's our mission, to sow the seeds of the gospel. And God tells us that as we go about sowing the seed, the gospel will produce a great harvest. But friends, understand this morning, this parable isn't primarily about the spreading of gospel seed. It's really a story about the kinds of hearts the seeds land on. It's about the hearts that the seed of the gospel lands on. Look at verse 9, if you will, in your Bibles. Jesus concludes this parable with these words. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now here in this admonition, we find the key to understanding this entire parable. Well, this parable tells us a number of things about the nature of the kingdom of God. Jesus's primary point, what we could call the point of provocation, the point of provocation in this parable is really the question of hearing. Look at verse 3. How does Jesus begin this parable? He begins the parable with the word listen. Now the word listen in verse 3 and the word hearing in verse 9, it's the same word in the Greek. It's akouo. And so understand what Jesus is doing. He's framing this parable with this call to listen. Hear my words and listen. It begins with listening. It ends with listening. This parable is all about hearing and listening to the message of Jesus. He's sharing a living illustration with the crowd that's listening on the shore. And by the way, when Mark begins the parable by telling us that the crowd was on the shore, that word for shore or land in your Bible is the exact same word as soil in the parable. And so understand, Jesus is actually preaching a living parable. He's saying to the crowd that's listening, you're the soil, friends. Pay attention. Listen this morning to the words of Jesus, because it was hearing his message that was of utmost importance. But sadly, not all would hear. I've had this experience many times as a preacher over the years. I'll never forget, about 8 years ago, I had the privilege of joining my friend Sean McDowell, who spoke here last year. We did an apologetic outreach event at the campus of University of California, Berkeley. A bunch of student groups on campus had rented out the largest lecture hall in Berkeley. 1,000 students came that night. I spoke for an hour. Sean spoke for an hour. Then we did an hour of question and answer to all the students who were there. And it was really fascinating, friends, as I was sharing, as I was speaking. There were some in that audience that night who were just engaged. They were hanging on every word. In fact, we heard later a number of young people came to faith that night. But there were others that night who were listening to us, and they were looking at us like we were absolute fools. They just had this look on their face of just absolute astonishment at what we were sharing. Not because they were intrigued by it, but because they thought we were idiots. I'm sure Jesus saw all those same looks on the shore of Galilee that day. As he taught this parable, some were hanging on every word. Others looked at Jesus like he was a fool. See, friends, our passage this morning should provoke all of us to ask, am I hearing? Am I listening when God speaks? And we need to understand this morning, there is a difference, right? You know this, right? There's a difference between hearing and listening. When we do premarital counseling here at Lakes Free, talking with these young couples, we talk about this idea of active listening. Active listening. Reminds me of a story I heard about a man who thought his wife may be losing her hearing. He was downstairs watching TV. She was upstairs preparing dinner, and he yelled up from downstairs, "Hey, honey, what's for dinner?" And when he didn't hear a reply, he got concerned. He's like, oh my goodness, this is so sad. She can't even hear me. And so he walked up to the top of the stairs and he yelled into the kitchen, honey, hey, what's for dinner? And still no response. And the man was just so, you know, sad for his wife. And so he walked right into the kitchen and he's standing a foot away from her. And he says to her, honey, I asked you 3 times, what's for dinner? And his wife replied, and I told you 3 times we're having spaghetti. Hearing versus active listening. Okay, what is active listening? Active listening is not just hearing the words, but it's sharing with the conversation partner. It's sharing with the one who you're communicating with the response that tells them, I'm really hearing you. I'm actively listening to you. Jesus, friends, calls us to be active listeners. We need to be hearers of the word, but more than that, we need to be hearers who actively seek to understand and apply God's word. This is about that spiritual auditory nerve I mentioned earlier. It's about allowing the word of God to travel from our ears to our heart. And so, friends, I have to ask you this morning, are you listening today? Are you listening to hear the word of God? This leads me to point number 2 this morning. Jesus shares here in this parable the danger of spiritual deafness. As we come to verses 10 through 12, we discover one of the many hard sayings of Jesus. Scholar F.F. Bruce actually wrote a book by that title, The Hard Sayings of Jesus, and in that book he catalogs 77 of these hard sayings found throughout the Gospels. What are the hard sayings of Jesus? Well, these are teachings of Jesus that are ethically demanding. They're theologically shocking. They're seemingly paradoxical. Or maybe they're just teachings that offend our human pride. And so we find them to be very curious, sometimes difficult to receive and understand. We see one of these teachings here in verses 10 through 12. Let me read this. So after he shared this parable, when he was alone with those around him, with the 12, they asked him about the parables. And Jesus said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. What? Wait, what, Jesus? You're teaching so that they see but don't perceive, so that they hear but don't understand? What? You don't want them to turn and be forgiven, Jesus? What in the world is going on here? Well, friends, this is one of those hard sayings. But we can understand, I believe, what Jesus is getting at in this teaching. In verse 11, Jesus tells us that there are two groups when it comes to the kingdom of God. There are insiders and there are outsiders. The first group are those like Jesus' disciples and his followers. Those who we talked about last week in Mark chapter 3 at the end of that passage where Jesus talks about his spiritual family. Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? Who is my mother? It is the one who does the will of God, who repents and believes in the gospel. Those are my spiritual family. Those are the ones who are close to Jesus. Those are the insiders. And Jesus says it's to those that have been granted the secret of the kingdom of God. In other words, it's those who've been granted the opportunity to not only hear, but to listen and to understand and receive and respond to the message of the gospel. But there's another group, Jesus says, there are the outsiders. And those are the people who aren't part of his family. Those are the people who are missing out because they're not really hearing the message. Their spiritual auditory nerve isn't working. The sound's coming into their ears, but it's not getting to their hearts. And so Jesus wants us to grasp that this is the whole point of this parable. Those with ears to hear will be granted access and insight into the secret of the kingdom of God. They'll come to understand what God is up to in the message of the gospel. But for those who don't respond, for those who don't want more of Jesus or don't want to understand his teaching, they will never find the secret of the gospel. For them, Jesus' teaching, and especially his parables, will only lead to perplexity and ultimately judgment. The French philosopher Blaise Pascal, he says it like this: there is enough light for those who desire to see and enough obscurity for those who desire the contrary. Friends, if you long to see, if you long to understand, it will be given to you. The understanding will become clear. God will open the ears of your heart. He'll clear that channel for that spiritual auditory nerve to connect the words you're hearing to your heart for transformation. But at the same time, friends, if your heart is turned against Jesus, if there's no curiosity, if there's no interest, if there's a hardness to the message of the gospel, you will remain outside and you'll never understand, and this will ultimately be to your judgment. Yeah, I was thinking about this quote, and I was reflecting on a podcast I watched earlier this summer, Joe Rogan. I like watching Joe Rogan occasionally just for, you know, some of the different cultural people and influencers he has on his show. July 31st, he had an incredible episode, 3 hours, with a man by the name of Chad Wright. Chad Wright is a former U.S. Navy SEAL, and now he has a ministry, an outdoor wilderness adventure ministry and wilderness hunting guiding ministry. Really interesting guy. But this 3-hour episode was absolutely fascinating because Chad Wright, throughout the whole episode, literally 2 hours of the episode was him sharing the gospel with Joe Rogan. I mean, absolutely incredible. Just a clear gospel presentation just over and over again. And I'm listening to this and I'm like praying as I'm listening. I'm saying, Lord, open his ears to hear. I mean, I kept waiting for any moment Joe to say, I want to receive Jesus. I want to embrace the gospel. This man, Chad, was just sharing this powerful presentation of the gospel that was so good, so biblical, so compelling. You could literally feel the Holy Spirit moving through this podcast. And Joe Rogan sat there and he listened respectfully the entire time. But he wasn't hearing because his spiritual auditory nerve wasn't working. And so it was just words. It wasn't bringing about transformation. This is why Jesus says in the parallel account to this parable in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 13, Verses 16 through 7, Jesus ends the parable there with these words, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Friends, there's a difference between hearing the message and truly listening and receiving the message. Now in verse 12, Jesus tells us why being responsive listeners to God's word is so important. And he does so by warning us of the danger of spiritual deafness. Look again at verses 11 and 12. Jesus says to his followers, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Now here in this hard saying of Jesus, to understand what he's getting at here, he's actually quoting from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. And Isaiah chapter 6 is this really incredible passage where God calls Isaiah to go and preach a message of repentance to the people of Israel. But Isaiah, though he's willing to go, this is that famous passage where the Lord says, "Who shall I send?" And Isaiah stands up and says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." But he doesn't know what he's being sent for. And God says to Isaiah, "Isaiah, I'm sending you with a message of repentance." But then God says to Isaiah, "But Isaiah, they're not going to hear you. And they're not going to listen to you. And they're not going to receive your invitation to repent because their hearts are already hardened and judgment is already pronounced. And Isaiah, your message is really going to be one that is going to confirm their condemnation." See, while Isaiah was sent with this message of invitation, it was actually an indictment against the people of Israel. And so in the very same way, by quoting this passage from Isaiah, a passage, by the way, which all of Jesus' listeners would have been familiar with, this was really the heart of the Old Testament judgment of God against his people. They would have remembered this. They would have recalled this. And so Jesus uses this story, this illustration, Isaiah 6, to pronounce judgment on everyone who had ears but did not hear and respond to the call of the gospel. And as we'll see in a moment, these are the people represented by the three unfruitful soils. See, friends, there is a real spiritual danger in hearing, but not truly listening. There's a real risk with spiritual deafness. This is why every weekend when I come in on Saturday afternoons and Saturday evenings to prepare my notes and pray over our worship the next morning, I always pray the same things for all of you. Lord, open their eyes. Open their ears, Lord. Open their hearts. Because we can hear the message, but not truly listen. For some, it's just words, and it doesn't translate through that spiritual auditory nerve to their heart. And so again, my prayer for all of us here this morning even is, Lord, open our ears. Help us to hear. Jesus next tells us the dividend of receptive hearing. You like my alliteration there, right? Drama, danger, dividend, right? What does dividend mean? Remember playing Monopoly, the chance card, right? You earn a dividend of $200 for sale of stocks, right? What's a dividend? It's a payoff. It's a reward, right? And Jesus tells us that there's a reward for those with receptive hearing. Jesus goes on to explain the meaning of the parable to his disciples. He starts with this mild rebuke here in verse 13. He says, look, guys, if you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand any of the rest. So here, friends, listen to this, friends. This is important because next week we're going to look at three more parables. And if you don't understand this one, those others aren't going to make sense next week either. So don't even bother coming back. If you walk away from this morning thinking like, what did he just say? Next week's not going to make any sense, so you can just skip next week. But Lord, please, please let my friends hear this morning. Jesus explains that the seed represents the message of the gospel. The seed represents God's invitation of amazing grace to put our faith and trust in Jesus, that we are saved through him and not through works. This is what Jesus came. This was what his ministry was about, proclaiming the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, which comes through faith in Jesus Christ. God brings about this transformation in our hearts. Jesus explains to the disciples that the sower, this farmer scattering the seed, this is Jesus, but it's also all of us. It's his ambassadors, those who live to share the hope of the gospel, who scatter the seed of the gospel and spread it throughout our spheres of influence, throughout our lives. We're the seed scatterers. And then Jesus talks about the soils. The soils are those who hear the word of God and their various responses to it. And Jesus tells us there's four, there's three that don't have ears to hear, and there's one that does. And Jesus identifies these four types of hearts. He tells us, first of all, there's the dried up heart. This is the heart represented by the path in verse 15. This is the heart that is so hardened against God for various reasons, worldly influences, false teaching, whatever. It's become so hardened against God that the gospel seed just simply cannot take root. It reminds me of when I was speaking at the University of Minnesota Law School a few years ago. I was invited to actually speak on intelligent design to the law students there. And at the end of my presentation, as I was sharing, I transitioned into sharing the gospel. There were about 200 law students there. And as I was sharing the gospel, friends, I kid you not, it was one of those very interesting moments in my ministry where I literally saw demonic faces out in the audience. I mean, some of the looks that I was getting from the people listening were just pure evil directed at me as I was sharing the hope of Jesus. They reminded me of what the Apostle Paul describes in 2 Timothy 3:7, people who are always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because their hearts were hard. And so the seed was scattered, but there was no receptivity at all. Jesus talks about the second kind of soil. It's the depthless heart. This is the rocky soil in verses 16 and 17. The seed is sown, and there's some initial soil there. It begins to take root, but under the soil, it's all rock. And so it can't really truly grow. And it begins to bloom at first, but then the sun comes out and it scorches it and it withers away because there's no depth. The seed never took root, and so it dies off. And look at verse 17. Jesus says, why does this happen? Why do some people seem to initially respond in faith, but then their faith quickly falls away, it fades away? How do you explain this? Well, Jesus says in verse 17, it's on account of the word. See, these are people who receive the gospel initially, and there's an initial excitement and enthusiasm, but when it becomes really challenging and truly costly following Jesus, these people fall away. They fall away on account of the word. It reminds me of a young man who came to one of my youth group trips back when I was a youth pastor in my early years of ministry. We used to do an annual trip to Panama City Beach, Florida on spring break. It was basically like a big summer camp that we would run over the week during spring break and just had a lot of fun. And then, you know, we were doing discipleship and sharing the gospel. And there was a young man who was invited by some of the kids in our youth group. And this young man, he was from a Mormon family. And over the course of the week, hearing the message of the gospel, this young man professed faith in Jesus. He was so excited. He was so enthusiastic. He was just so enamored with the good news of the gospel. But then we went home. And over the next couple of weeks, we began to realize that he wasn't returning to youth group. He wasn't coming back to church. I followed up with him, and through some of his friends, I found out, well, when his father and his parents found out that he had become a Christian, that he wanted to start coming to our church, they weren't happy. And you see, the pressures to conform for this young man, the pressures from his family, from his Mormon religion, ultimately caused him to fall away. He fell away on account of the word because he didn't truly have depth. The seed never took root. Jesus says in John 8, 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Friends, you need to abide. You need to abide in his word. That's the seed that truly bears fruit. Jesus then tells us there's the divided heart. This is the thorny soil in verses 18 and 19. This is the seed that seems to take root and it seems to begin to bloom, but it's quickly choked out by the concerns of this world. And specifically, Jesus is speaking about material concerns, wealth and riches and the need to pay our bills and the need to acquire stuff and accumulate stuff. And these material desires ultimately choke out the word of God. We're going to see in Mark chapter 10 the story of the rich young ruler. This young man who comes to Jesus and he says, you know, Jesus, how do I enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, well, do this and do this and do this. And this young man says, well, Jesus, I've kept all those commandments since I was a boy. And Jesus says to him, but one thing you lack. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor and then come follow me and you will have treasure in heaven. And Mark chapter 10 reports that this young man's face fell and he went away sad because he had great wealth. The stuff of this world choked out that seed of faith. See, this is why Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. See, understand, friends, there's only room for one on the throne of your heart. It's either going to be Jesus or it's going to be something else. And if it's something else, that seed of faith will be choked out. Jesus tells us then there's a fourth kind of heart. This is the devoted heart. This is the seed that falls on good soil in verse 20. And here in this fourth soil, we see the dividend or the payoff of receptive hearing. Jesus tells us that the devoted heart is a heart that results in two great rewards. Number one, it bears fruit. This is the seed that actually takes root and it begins to bloom. It begins to flourish. There's a root system there and it's growing and it's thriving and it's healthy. It's bearing fruit. This is what Jesus talks about in John 15, 5, where he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Friends, this is the man or woman of God who hears the message of the gospel and they receive the message of the gospel. And in that reception, they want more of Jesus. They long for more of Jesus. They're hungry for his word and they want to grow closer in their relationship with him. And all of this then is beginning to bear this fruit that's blooming and growing and developing in their life because they're abiding in Jesus. But then Jesus tells us there's a second dividend, a second payoff. This seed ultimately produces even more fruit. This seed produces more seed that then scatters and produces more fruit. It goes on, he says, to bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. This isn't just a fruit that blooms. It's a fruit that's bountiful, friends. Friends, what a great image this is, right? This fruit that grows and then goes on to reproduce itself. And this is what happens with the person who receives the gospel and abides in Christ, is that they cannot help but then go and share that good news with others. And God empowers that fruit to do so. In Acts chapter 1:8, in the Great Commission, Jesus tells his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And as we saw last year in our study in 1 Corinthians, how does the Holy Spirit empower us? He empowers us with different acts of service and different gifts and different callings. How so? So that we can... Why does he do this? So that we can be people who go out into the world and share the seed of the gospel with others. And here's the thing, we're not all necessarily going to do that the same way, right? Some he's given the gift of preaching. Some of you are thinking, man, I would never get up on a stage. You're like, no way, I'm never getting up on a stage, right? But guess what? You have gifts that I'm not called to do. And so there are different gifts and there are different activities and there are different ways of service, but they all work together for the goodness of the advancement of the gospel and the glory of God. Isn't that awesome, friends? Isn't that good news? And look at what God tells us in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. For as rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Friends, this is the good news for those of us who are blooming and bearing fruit. God calls us to scatter our seed. He calls us to use our gift and use the activities he's called us to and use the ways of service that are in our lives and sphere of influence. We do so, and as we do this, we scatter seed. And the promise of the gospel is that God's word doesn't return void. It doesn't return empty. That seed is going to scatter. And yes, it's going to fall on a whole bunch of different kinds of soils. And some aren't going to be receptive. But as we're faithful to the calling God has given us, some of that seed is going to take root, and it's going to grow, and it's going to bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Friends, isn't this good news for us to know this morning? And so I need to ask you today, do you have ears to hear? Are you listening today? Has the word of God moved from your ears through that spiritual auditory nerve to the heart? And when you reflect on your life today, not only has that seed taken root, but do you see the fruit of that seed blossoming in your life? Is that fruit that's growing also then producing other seed that is being shared with others? See, this is what the gospel does, is it brings transformation. As we abide in Christ, we grow, we bloom, and we become bountiful for the glory of God. Friends, that's my prayer for all of us this morning, is that we might be people who not just hear the word, but receive it, and that it results in the advance of God's kingdom.